KQED. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Mina Kim. Coming up on Forum, 1,000 people are feared dead and thousands more are still desperate for rescue, 1 week after flooding caused by Cyclone Idai struck Mozambique, Zimbabwe, and Malawi. We get a sense of what one UN official described as possibly the worst weather-related disaster in the Southern Hemisphere. Then we get your reactions to the near daily disturbing revelations about Boeing's 737 MAX planes and the company's relationship to the FAA. The FBI has reportedly joined the criminal investigation into how the FAA certified the jets. That's all next on Forum. Join us. Welcome to Forum. I'm Mina Kim. As aware as we are of the destruction caused by flooding, with the Midwest dealing with it this week and even here late last month in West Sonoma County, it is still hard to wrap your mind around the devastation being felt in Mozambique, Zimbabwe, and Malawi from Cyclone Idai. 557 people are confirmed dead by the United Nations, with fears that number will climb into the thousands as more remote areas are reached. Though the cyclone struck more than a week ago, some 15,000 people are still awaiting rescue, stranded on rooftops and in trees, in floodwaters spanning more than 1,000 miles. We will get the latest on the situation with reporters there. In the meantime, I want to invite our listeners to join the conversation with their questions about what is happening there. If you are familiar with the nations affected, Mozambique, Zimbabwe, Malawi, or are from there, what would you like listeners to understand? The number is 866-733-6786. Again, 866-733-6786. You can post your comments on our website, kqed.org/forum. On Facebook, you can tweet us at KQED Forum, or you can email us at forum@kqed.org. We're joined by Reuben Brigady. He's the dean of George Washington University's Elliott School of International Affairs. He's formerly U.S. Representative to the African Union and permanent U.S. Representative to the U.N. Economic Commission of Africa. He also served as Deputy Assistant Secretary of State in the Bureau of African Affairs from 2011 to 2013. Good morning, Reuben Brigady.
Good morning.
We're also joined by Andrew Meldrum. He is the Acting Africa Editor for the Associated Press. Hello, Andrew Meldrum.
Hi.
We've been hearing that aid agencies are struggling to cope with the destruction, to rescue the stranded, and so much more. Can you tell us what you're hearing there?
Well, yes. In Mozambique, it's really been a disaster that is more than even those who were warning about it beforehand than what they imagined. And everybody has realized the death toll is continuing to climb, but the hardest thing, the floodwaters are starting to recede now, and they expect that then they will see better just how bad things are, how many people have died, and what kind of destruction has been made.
Are you saying that there are concerns that the death toll estimate of about 1,000 is actually an underestimate?
Well, it's really hard to say, but I did see from our reporter who's in Beira right now, she spoke with the head of the Red Cross, and he said that he was worried that it could go above 1,000. But he also said from the amount of flooding across a wide area of more than 25 miles in the plains of central Mozambique, what is needed to get the country back up on its feet again, particularly because the agriculture, it's going to take a lot to rebuild that infrastructure and to help people, help farmers to get started again. And there is a smaller but still very significant problem in Zimbabwe and in Malawi, again, to how to rehabilitate the areas that have been so badly affected.
If someone were looking at the area from the air, it's been described as an inland ocean. Can you tell us what they would see?
A lot of muddy water. A lot of muddy water, with a few trees and patches of high land, but I mean small islands where there are huddled people. They're flying over areas, and there are a couple of towns that have managed to stay above water. But there are large areas that were complete where residences and farms were completely submerged.
We are hearing horrific stories of people clinging to trees for a week, sitting on rooftops for a week, even parents who cannot get in the rescue boat but are tossing their babies in for rescue. What are some of the hardest things you've heard and seen, Andrew Meldrum?
Well, the most heartbreaking are, and again, the Red Cross highlighted this, the numbers of children, small children kids who are on their own, who are either separated from their families or who lost their families. Another very tragic situation is more than 120 bodies in Zimbabwe were rushed down the mountainside from Zimbabwe into Mozambique, so that Mozambique recovered the bodies of more than 120 people who had been in Zimbabwe and just were swept on the rivers, on the flooding down the mountainside to Mozambique.
Why some 15,000 people still remain stranded? I mean, is the main way of getting to them helicopters, boats? I'm hearing that the equipment, it's just far too little for what the need is.
Yes, it is. But now the floodwaters are starting to recede. And so the rescue efforts, they say, are now, you know, they are not racing against time to help people who were clinging to treetops. Either those people have been saved or they have been lost. But now, as the floodwaters recede, they say they're actually seeing bits of land where now they are seeing small family groups, and they see smoke, which indicates that cooking fires. So now it is really beginning to be the rehabilitation effort.
I see.
And
they're trying to airlift water and food to them. Is that right? To drop them
absolutely,
in some of those areas?
Absolutely. And the World Food Program from the United Nations they have food. They said previously there was not enough dry land for them to, and there weren't. They couldn't find areas where they could airdrop. Now they say that they are starting to get the airdrop effort underway, and they also said it is a far greater need to provide food to those to the thousands who have been made homeless, and they have made an urgent appeal to the international community for funds to make sure that they have enough food, particularly the high energy biscuits, airdrop to people, so that and to provide clean water. Because that, of course, is an absolute necessity as well.
Reuben Brigidy, Dean of George Washington University's Elliott School of International Affairs and formerly U.S. Representative to the African Union, can you tell us about Beira? Andrew Meldrum mentioned Beira, and I understand that it's a port city, a busy port city, and that is where the cyclone hit.
Yes, I have been to Beira when previously I served as the Deputy Assistant Secretary of State for Southern African Affairs, which includes Mozambique as well as Zimbabwe and Malawi. It is a port city, the fourth largest city in Mozambique. Ironically, for a connection to Americans, it was the birth city of former Secretary of State John Kerry's wife, Teresa Hines Kerry, who was born in Beira. There is substantial shipping traffic that not only serves Mozambique, but also via rail other portions in southern Africa. It is a port city that lies basically at and portions below sea level, which is what made it particularly susceptible to the storm surge from the cyclone.
And so what do you think are its prospects for recovery after this? I mean, you know, how is the infrastructure there, and is the local and national government able to support the needs?
Well, let me talk about it in terms of the recovery and rebuilding effort generally, and not specifically with regard to Barra. I'd say several things. I mean, first of all, this is clearly going to turn out to be one of the most devastating natural disasters anywhere in the Southern Hemisphere. You are correct in terms of what people are saying in terms of an inland ocean. And while the floodwaters are receding and the death toll from the initial storm surge and wind was significant, I think there is likely to be a rise in the death toll, not only as those floodwaters recede, but also, quite frankly, as there is concern for potential of spread of waterborne diseases, particularly cholera. And also as it may prove difficult for to move food in. I know my colleague just talked about the airdrops from the World Food Program. It's important to know that in the humanitarian community, use of airdrops really are the last resort for food delivery because they tend to be incredibly expensive, relatively inefficient. It's hard to control the distribution, obviously, because you're dropping it from the air. And so the question will be, once the floodwaters receive, how long will it be to be able to improvise the rebuilding of road infrastructures in order to move supplies in by land, not only food and clean water, but obviously repair supplies, et cetera. In the long term, Mozambique actually has significant resources from relatively new natural gas reserves that have been developed off the Mozambican channel. So while they are, you know, quite rightly appealing for international aid, given the commercial prospects and the importance of Beira as a port, I suspect that the government will make it a priority to rebuild. But I think none of us should be under any illusions that the rebuilding, certainly of the parts that have been devastated in Mozambique and also in eastern Zimbabwe, to a slightly lesser extent Malawi, will be profound.
Reuben Brigidy is Dean of George Washington University's Elliott School of International Affairs. Rich writes, "My heart goes out to everyone displaced by this storm. The reason why we don't have this level of suffering in the U.S. is because of the high costs we pay for construction. All the extra engineering and building codes we enforce keep disasters and needless loss of life from happening. My point is, be thankful for our seemingly high cost of construction here." Andrew Meldrum, when are floodwaters expected to recede completely? Do we have a sense, any projection?
I haven't seen anybody giving a projection of when they will flood, when they will recede completely. They are starting to go down now, but there are still. This is still the rainy season, and it's been there's been on and off rain in Zimbabwe and in Mozambique, and the Zimbabwe rain is important because all of that drained from the eastern highlands of Zimbabwe into Mozambique, so. It's going to take quite a while before it really recedes completely. And even then, I would say the plains of central Mozambique will be quite sodden, really, really wet, in other words.
Andrew Meldrum with the Associated Press. We're talking about the devastating flooding in Mozambique, Zimbabwe, and Malawi caused by last week's Cyclone Idai. What are your questions for our guests about the disaster, about relief efforts, the outlook for the region? Are you familiar with the nations affected, and what would you like listeners to understand? Again, the number 866-733-6786. This is a half-hour segment, so the time to call is now. You can post your comments also on our website. You can email us at forum@kqed.org, or you can post them on Facebook or on Twitter. Andrew Meldrum, Reuben Brigidy also mentioned cholera, concerns about cholera. We know that hospitals are wiped out. Are medicines getting to people, to the governments, to be distributed?
Well, this is, a primary concern, and that is why to prevent cholera, what you need is clean water. And so you have clean water for drinking, clean water for washing your hands. That is the most important preventive measure to try and prevent it, because once you have cholera, then it can be a very rapid. So, yes, medicines are needed against cholera, but really the most important thing is to provide people with enough clean water so that they can have sanitary living facilities.
Ruben Brigady, do you have a sense of how much the U.S. is helping in the effort to try to deal with the disaster? Any sense at all?
Well, yes. The U.S. Agency of International Development's Office for Humanitarian Assistance, Office for Foreign Disaster Assistance, OFDA, has deployed what's called a DART team, or Disaster Assistance Response Team, which is an elite group of humanitarian disaster experts. I previously worked in USAID in this particular bureau, so I'm well acquainted with their exceptional capabilities. They have provided an initial tranche of just under $1 million to provide emergency funding for NGOs in the area, and also to help assessments of greater needs. But the real challenge isn't so much, frankly, the amount of funding that the U.S. government and other partners will provide, although that is absolutely significant. And the UN has also already put out an appeal, various UN agencies, UNICEF, for example, and others, and WFP. The real issue is going to be finding both implementing partners or local groups on the ground that can actually be used as partners, particularly the further inland you get, to be able to provide emergency humanitarian assistance. And then also, as I mentioned previously, to be able to develop a logistical train to be able to get those supplies in. Fortunately, the airport in Beira was closed very, very briefly, but is operational and is serving as a key logistic hub to bring supplies in. But the real question is going to be able to help to get those supplies out in a sort of retail way, if you will, to communities affected that need it.
What is the long-term plan, Andrew Meldrum, or the short-term, long-term plan, I guess, in the sense of, whether they're trying to create camps for the displaced? Andrew Meldrum?
Yes. Beira has become a kind of hub for displaced people. Lots of people were rescued by boats and taken to Beira. And there are also efforts to reunite families. And remember, it's not as easy as one. Well, it's a very hard task because many people don't have cell phones. They don't have access to trying to get in touch. And so the Red Cross in particular has a system that is putting into place now to try and reunite families. That is important, and then also to find out where they could resettle people. As I say, it will be, I think, a long time. It will be not just weeks, but months before areas that have been so badly flooded are once again habitable. And so there will be a lot of efforts. Where do you put? Where can you find places for people to stay in the meantime? And how can they support themselves with food and water and housing and clothes in the meantime as well? So it's quite a massive rehabilitation project that is needed.
Well, Nick asks, how has climate change played a role in the Mozambique floods? Andrew Meldrum or Ruben Brigady, do you have any thoughts on Nick's question?
Well, the general problem with discussing of climate change as it relates to particular disasters is there are those who would argue that you can't make the causal link per se. That sure, the climate is changing, but how do you know it caused this particular hurricane or that particular cyclone? I am firmly of the view, as are many other experts, that of course there's a link. We know that global temperatures are rising. We know that storms are empirically becoming stronger. There is no doubt that Hurricane Idai will go down as one of the strongest cyclones ever to hit the southern hemisphere, and we know there's a direct link between obviously water temperature and the strength of hurricanes and cyclones and typhoons. So I think there's no question, certainly in my view, in the view of those who are climatological experts, that there is a link between global warming, climate change, and the strength of these climatological phenomena.
Could we see dire food shortages as well lasting for some time? There have been reports that that crops were destroyed just before harvest. Ruben Brigady.
Indeed.
And Andrew, I'm sorry, Andrew Meldrum, go ahead if you have an answer to that.
Yes. In eastern Zimbabwe, in the Chimani Mani area, which was very badly affected, there are farmers that we interviewed that lost their entire year's crops of maize and green beans and other vegetables. They're gone. And what one farmer told us that the biggest loss for him was he had two bulls. He said that helped him. That was like that was like two tractors. And he lost them, and he said, this is going to make it. He was starting to rebuild his home. He was starting to try and get crops and seeds into the fields there. But he said it's going to be, it's really a difficult time. And he was just about to harvest, and now they're gone.
Reuben Brigady, what do you think is important for us here to know and understand? You testified before the House about the Trump administration's proposals to drastically cut foreign aid budgets. And when you were U.S. ambassador to the African Union, you said the U.S. was a natural partner of choice for Africa. What do you think it's important for Americans to understand about our relationship with Africa?
Well, in the context of this disaster, I'd say several things. I mean, the first is that the world is truly interconnected, and the challenges that are faced through climatological phenomena or through health pandemics, as we saw in the Ebola crisis 2014, really do affect all of us. And thus, it is not simply a matter of sympathy, but quite frankly, a direct matter of our natural interest to be leaders in response not only to these emergencies, but also leaders in responses to addressing the broader climatological phenomena that are causing them. The second thing I would say is that nations like people remember who was there for them at their darkest hours. And I think particularly now is the time for the United States to take extraordinary efforts, as it has done traditionally in a bipartisan basis in the humanitarian space, to be able to come to the aid of the people of Mozambique and Malawi and Zimbabwe, not simply in terms of immediate relief, but also, quite frankly, to help be there for the long run as they seek to rebuild from this tragedy.
Andrew Meldrum, would you like to add anything in the last 30 seconds we have?
Well, yes. This is, as we've said, a disaster of a huge magnitude that actually had not been anticipated, and it is going to be a long-term project to try and get these affected countries back on their feet. It's going to take a long time.
Yes, we're seeing figures of nearly 2 million or so people who will be touched by this. Andrew Meldrum, Acting Africa Editor for the Associated Press, Reuben Brigady, Dean of George Washington University's Elliott School of International Affairs, formerly U.S. Representative to the African Union and permanent U.S. Representative to the U.N. Economic Commission of Africa. He also served as Deputy Assistant Secretary of State in the Bureau of African Affairs from 2011 to 2013. Thank you both for talking with us. Next, we will get the latest on the investigation into Boeing and the FAA, so stay with us for that. I'm Mina Kim. You're listening to Forum.